This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
Is another apocalyptic prediction about to come true? Winds of death sweep across the world, and whole continents will be cast adrift in an ocean of blood.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 39, Bad Movies We Watched This Week.
Yeah, this is sort of like a recurring thing we do on our podcast where we discuss movies that I've seen that you may not have and vice versa.
Yeah.
And we sort of,
compare notes, see what's worth watching, what's worth sending back to the rejection bin.
Mm-hmm.
It's already been rejected and it's going to get rejected once again. Or just to be used as a coaster, what have you.
Right.
So what have we got this week?
Well, the gem I have this week is a movie called Laser Blast. This is a movie that this is kind of an infamous movie in the sense that it was lampooned on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, obviously for fans of that show, I am one. I mean, they're not exactly picking out Citizen Kane and
Casablanca,
right? So Laser Blast is one of those movies that they saw fit to lampoon. I did not watch their version. I watched the original Laser Blast. So
I just always think of when you think lasers, where there's always Austin Powers, and also, 1980s science museums, mm-hmm. where it's like where the all-powerful laser was the latest in technology then.
Yep.
Before nanotech and whatever else. I think
yep.
some of these science museums still have lasers. But anyway,
I mean, this is very much
blasting
of that,
lasers.
Where,
is great.
A laser is like, oh my god, it's a laser.
Yeah.
What am I gonna do? It's a laser. So yeah, Laser Blast. I mean, when this movie begins, we have we're in a desert, and there's this sort of like this green-faced man with a gigantic laser cannon on his hand. He's running, and he's somebody is after him, and we don't know what he's done and why he's being pursued. And then we see the spaceship descend, and inside the spaceship are these two aliens made out of claymation. And these aliens, the only way I can describe them, they look like desiccated piece of turds. They look like shit.
They look like shit. Yeah,
but I mean, like literally and metaphorically, like they look like shit, but they actually look like actual shit, right? And they blast this poor man in the desert, and he just sort of disappears into the ether, leaving behind an amulet, right? Okay, cutscene. We see a blonde kid awakening in some, I guess it's some Southern California or something.
Yeah.
And he's dismayed to learn that his mother is leaving for Acapulco yet again. Mommy, mommy, why you gotta go to Acapulco yet again? Leaving me alone. I need your maternal love, right?
Yeah.
Now, the funny thing is that this kid honestly looks about 30 years old. And, so he should not be pining for his mother's love, right?
Mm.
Doing some research, he was played by an actor by the name of Kim Milford, who was in a few things here and there. But I thought he looked 30. He was 27 when this movie was made. So, yeah, definitely not age-appropriate. But he's a high school kid. And Kim Milford, this is the 70s. He drives this this white van with these decals on the side.
A wizard?
Feet.
Oh.
Feet. Yeah, I don't know what the hell that was supposed to represent.
I thought anyone worth their salt in the 70s who had a van would have purple wizards.
No, they're just these gigantic footprints. And
listening to ELP.
Exactly. And he's on his way to see his girlfriend, Kathy. Now, Kathy, I must say, is played by B-movie goddess Cheryl Rainbow Smith. I love Cheryl Smith. She's been in movies such as Caged Heat,
mm-hmm.
The Swinging Cheerleaders, and all their associated sequels, as well as one of my absolute favorites, Lamora, Charles Hill, The Supernatural. Unfortunately, both Kim Milford and Cheryl Smith are no longer with us. They both passed on. But anytime I can see Cheryl Smith in a movie, I'm happy.
Mm.
Anyway, Cheryl Smith, she's living at home. I mean, well, they're her kids, right? And her father is this deranged ex-army member who still wants to be referred to as a colonel, and he's, you know, "Oh, that no good kid, you cannot see my daughter." Anyhow, you know, our hero, who's dejected by the colonel, goes out to the desert all surly and upset, and he comes across the cannon and the amulet, right? And he puts it on. And he finds that, you know, nothing really is happening with this cannon. And this cannon resembles one of those, like, you know, vacuum tube cleaners that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You have
the shark thing of the late night infomercial fame.
Exactly, exactly.
Shark vac.
You got it. And until he figures out that if he puts on the amulet and combines it with the cannon, then all of a sudden...
Well, like, then he can shoot the film's title.
Then he can blast lasers, yeah. Now, so not only is he able to blast, you know, these gigantic, you know, lasers, but unfortunately it also sort of takes over and he becomes sort of this green-faced, pasty, alien-esque figure when he's wearing the amulet. Now, what's interesting is that these desiccated turds, these claymation space creatures, are in pursuit because, I mean, I guess their job is to sort of...
Is to find these green creatures and hunt them down?
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Now, oh yeah, so
makes sense.
Our hero, but his name is Billy. I mean, Billy is bullied, okay? So he's bullied and he gets, you know, at one point, him and... his girlfriend Kathy are at a party and they're getting bullied by the two, the two... bullies, right. And Billy grabs a tennis racket at one point to defend his girlfriend's honor, and it's a very absurd scene because, I mean, you know, a baseball bat or a hockey stick, come on, I tell him tennis racket.
It's all about love. It's tennis.
No, okay, there you go.
Terrible tennis-related humor here.
Yeah, I would say so. Ba-dum-bum-bum.
Yeah.
But anyhow, as the movie continues on, Cheryl Smith, she notices that there's a bit of a lump where the amulet was, and she says, you know, you got to go to see the doctor, and the doctor's played by another sort of B-movie fave, Roddy McDowall.
Oh, excellent.
Roddy McDowall, who's in this movie, who, of course, you know, is known for Planet of the Apes, right? Amongst other movies. Roddy McDowall's in this movie for all of two scenes. He's a doctor. Oh my god, there's something going on there. We gotta remove it. I gotta take it to somewhere else for
further testing. So he has developed like a skin rash in reaction to wearing this amulet. So do you actually need a doctor to deal with this problem? Don't you like realize that this is what the cause is? You just take the amulet off and then no more skin rash?
Well, it's not just a skin rash. There's something metallic growing within
it. Oh, I see.
So
yeah.
The doctor removes it and then calls up his colleague and says, "I will bring it to you after hours, after midnight." Why he has to bring it? Why he can't have it courier? I don't know. But anyway.
Why it has to be after midnight? First thing Monday morning? Come into my office for the results? I don't know.
But he never makes it because on the way to the to get examined, Billy puts on the amulet, puts on the vacuum tube on his arm, and blasts the doctor to holy hell.
Right.
So as the film continues on, Billy just continues, you know, becoming more and more green-faced and ridiculous.
Possessed by this thing.
And he ends up starting to look like the Incredible Hulk, i.e. Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
Crossed with, like, Macaulay Culkin. In Home Alone, and with fangs, like he just looks absolutely ridiculous. And he, you know, before you know, he's just going on this indiscriminate blasting spree, and you know, just basically shooting anything and everything on this Hollywood soundstage. Because I mean, it was a, you know, an empty studio. Yeah. And he's destroying everything. Funny thing is, at one point, you know, it looks even more ridiculous because he has a predilection for wearing a button-down shirt with no buttons. So, you know, he's walking around, you know, with his manly chest exposed and he's got this stupid green face, again, looking like Macaulay Culkin with a receding hairline, crossed with the Incredible Hulk, blasting shit to shit. And, I mean, the way the movie ends, that he just basically... is blowing things up willy-nilly, and all of a sudden this laser comes down and Billy is no more. It's a space alien. You know, the claymation turds.
Yeah.
And the end. That's about it.
This did this really, really need desiccated aliens? Like, what was the point of that? If you just find, he could have just found an amulet and a cannon, and you would assume that it's otherworldly or appeared from space. Mm-hmm. You put it on. It seems like an extra layer of convolution.
To add to the extra layer of convolution, I mean, there was also this very vague government agent that was also on the tail of, the amulet.
And, oh, of course, yeah.
And so, yeah, there was all these different layers of people looking for, this cannon and this blasting laser, hence it's titled Laser Blast. But, I mean, again, this was in the late... There's this really interesting scene where he blasts... Because this was 1978, right? And the effects were decidedly less than special. You know what I mean? There's this one point where this hitchhiker picks Billy up, and he's sort of like this hippie hitchhiker, And at this point, Billy is way possessed and everything. And he looks at the cannon and goes, "Hey, man, far out, hey, what the heck is that?" And Billy sticks his cannon out the window and blasts a billboard to smithereens. And what's the billboard advertising? Star Wars.
Well, there you go.
Now, is this some sort of hey, we're better than Star Wars? You had aliens in Star Wars. You want to see? We got aliens. We got desiccated piece of shit. Versus at that point, what was state of the art? I don't know what. But the point is that this movie it was a turd. There were turds in it. That was the aliens. It was a turd. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. I recommend it highly. Sometimes with these Mystery Science Theater 3000 type movies, I like watching Mystery Science Theater 3000, but sometimes it's fun just to watch the original movie, mm-hmm. as opposed to having it sort of through the filter of the comedians, making their own jokes and sort of,
Yeah, twice removed from that. Here, you invent your own commentary.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. So I recommend seeking it out. I think it's now being distributed by Full Moon. So Laser Blast is my crap of the week, my turd of the week with literal turds. What do you got there, Chris?
Well, no floating turds here, but two nautically themed movies, one of which I'll talk about predominantly, and the other one just by way of entry. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to see Open Water because... It's a shark movie and more of a psychological animal attack movie with two people who were stranded after going scuba diving on an Australia reef. And so you get to see them just basically in real time stranded in the middle of the ocean. So that was an 8mm, really well-crafted, interesting film that I picked up for $2 in Koreatown in Toronto. But what I really would like to focus on today is an unknown, for the most part, Australian movie that had a cover that I liked. It had a sailboat on it, which is ridiculous because there's no sailboat in this movie at all. But I was thinking of Dead Calm, which was quite a classic. If I'm not mistaken, Nicole Kidman was in it.
Sam Neill, yeah.
Yeah, and Sam Neill, obviously a great actor. So we got another Aussie movie.
Billy Zane.
Okay, well, he's pretty terrible anything he touches. But
he was in Dead Calm, was he not?
I believe he probably was. Yeah. He was in Titanic, was he not?
He was in Titanic.
He's just also awful in every way.
Another film that you watched recently that you were not very fond of.
Zombie
and Elephants or something?
Yeah, Elephants Graveyard, Zombie something or other. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Nautical film, you got... a group of people out on the water, and again, no sailboat to be seen whatsoever. They're out aboard this yacht, and they're planning a surfing trip into the wilds of the Indian Ocean. If I'm not mistaken, it's Maldives, possibly pronounced Maldives, but I've heard it both ways, so I'm going to call it the Maldives. So anyway, they're out in the middle of nowhere, and obviously they can't be found by anyone. There's no coast guard out in the middle of the open ocean. So theme of these two films, open water. Mm-hmm. Open water, and Caught Inside, they're out surfing, and the lead character is sort of this goon, and his name is Bull, and he's sort of a homunculus, sort of muscular tough guy. He looks like Bret the Hitman Hart crossed with like Iggy Pop. He's got long hair and he's muscled, maybe a little bit of the guy from the Chili Peppers. He's a muscled, long-haired guy.
Interesting though, because Iggy Pop looks kind of desiccated.
at this point, yeah, he's still got good muscular.
He's got good muscle for a guy in his 60s. You wouldn't exactly call him muscle fat. He's not burly or beefy.
No, he's not about to pop. But this guy, they plan sort of a boys' trip to go surfing, but at the last minute, one guy says, "Oh, I would like to you know, bring my girlfriend, and this disappoints the other guys.
Now, is this you replicating an Aussie accent right there? Or?
She's an actual Aussie. Oh, was I?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I wouldn't dare until maybe later. Yeah, so the two women are, you know, brought along in this voyage, much to the chagrin of these guys, because they want their own space. They want to just have fun. And, you know, the one woman is single, and she's quite a looker. She's on a big TV show now. It could be Chicago Fire, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this Bull character is obviously an alpha male, and he's hot for anything. So he sees the hot new piece of meat who's going to be one of two female presences on this yacht as they go out surfing. And he, you know, tries to get with her, but you know, he's rebuffed, and she is more taken with the advances of one Bobby, who is one of the characters there, is the nice guy. So her and the guy, they end up shagging, and he's just seething with jealousy. And so you can tell that Bull is going to be a little bit off. He's bullish. He's going to be bullish. And, you know, he's out surfing one day, and they're supposed to be in the middle of nowhere, but they come across this other surfer who's just a foreigner, happens to be surfing there. They don't really explain how he got there as well, in the middle of nowhere. He's either a Spaniard or a Frenchman, I can't recall, but Bull gets into a fight with this guy. And the other woman, who's the girlfriend of one of his buddies, she's a documentary filmmaker and turns her lens on everything that happens. So she follows Bull as he's fighting with this guy in the ocean. Mm-hmm. They end up on the beach. Bull beats the living shit out of this guy. Just pummels him just with full-on fist to the face, leaves him for dead. The guy's a complete wreck. She captures this on film. Obviously, her shipmates, everyone on board, the captain, they see that Bull has obviously got a screw loose. Now, he explained it away as saying, oh, that guy hit me first, and he had the cut to show it. So they say, okay, maybe don't get on Bull's bad side, but maybe he had a point, and he was instigated in this fight. Mm-hmm. There's islands everywhere. So further on in the film, the more gorgeous model type, she goes sunbathing.
Nude, I hope?
Unfortunately topless? Not. No, yeah, damn. Topless, face down, disappointment there. But yeah. And her boyfriend goes off into the surf, mm-hmm. and she is led to believe, as she's face down and she's relaxing, that it's her boyfriend who's applying sunscreen to her back and massaging her. So she's half asleep, and she's just enjoying these hands that are, you know, her these hands touching her lithe, you know, like
supple flesh.
And so, of course, she doesn't think anything of it, but whose hands are they? The rough, calloused, lecherous, filthy paws of one Bull.
Oh, no.
And, oh, no, yeah. And she gradually opens her eyes and sees her boyfriend coming toward her, and then realizes, bam, this is not my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
On top of me, and he violates her with his hand. Like he reaches into her bikini bottom and and violates her, and she wigs out on him, okay. Understandably. Mm-hmm. And the captain intervenes. The captain's this gruff Aussie sod who's just got this beard. He looks like a Russell Crowe sort of ass beater, and they don't mess with him. He's the muscle on the ship, mm-hmm. and they are obviously just terrified. And they as punishment, they leave Bull to, I guess, sober up and, I guess, calm down. And they leave him on this island overnight. And they go back out to the yacht. And then they try and figure out what happens next. Because, I don't know, whose law applies when you're on the seas? Like, what nautical law is in effect when this guy...
Can I... I'm sorry. I'm just going to interrupt you right now. Because I'm thinking of a time. Like, okay, this has nothing to do with your movie, right? Yeah. This is a pure digression, right? But I'm just thinking of when I was in Australia, mm-hmm. and I was on a boat cruise, and we were going through the Whitsundays, which is a series of islands, and this was a boat cruise, it was like a 4-day thing, and it was just an absolute booze fest. Okay, so the whole point was that we were going to be hopping islands and doing some snorkeling, but the whole time we're just drinking like.
Yeah, and nobody did a minute's worth of snorkeling.
Well, we did, but we're just totally inebriated, which is hilarious. At one point, they said, oh, yeah, at this point, when you're snorkeling, make sure to not put your foot down in the water because there's razor-sharp coral, and if you step on it, you're a goner. You're dead.
Really?
Yeah.
Just from a... is it poisonous?
Yes, I believe so.
Wow.
But anyway, there was a...
Damn those coral reefs.
There was a...
Why preserve them?
there was this Vancouverite on our boat. His name is Aaron. Aaron, if you're listening, shouting out to you, man. You're part of your... beyond belief. Anyway, this guy, Aaron, got so blasted, right? So he's stumbling around on the boat, and... he's like this close to going over the railing, right? So this poor woman that was conscripted to like take care of all of us stupid backpackers, right, and make sure that we know, grabs a guy and puts him in a life jacket, right, and make sure that he does go over, you know, he'll be safe, right? Well,
he'll drown from his alcohol intake, but he'll at least be floating.
But unfortunately, poor Aaron. I mean. He was just out of control, and so then the next step of the nautical law was put into place, where she then handcuffed him.
Wow.
To an actual, you know, to the actual boat.
Yeah.
So he was that. That was it. Yeah. So instead of putting a bull on the island, poor Aaron was handcuffed to the boat, and I mean, to this day, I mean, this was 70 years ago. I'll never forget Aaron being handcuffed to the boat. You know, sobering up
and as ignominiously handcuffed.
So I'm sorry if I kind of went on a bit of a segue there, but I think that story was worth telling.
Yeah, for sure. Well, again, like what to do when you're out in the high seas, you're hours from the nearest port of call, and it's a bull. They figure it would be safe on this island, but he uses the tides to swim back out, and so he proceeds.
They should have handcuffed him, a liar.
They should have, And so he proceeds, obviously, to come back and terrorize the remaining people on the boat, which includes, again, the documentarian, Bobby, the nice guy, who's the boyfriend, the new beau of this leggy model, and this guy who's like the hippie, sort of Justin Bieber haired. You know, pushover of the group, who's they refer to him as a grom, which is Aussie slang for a young surfer. This guy's just there to drink. He's the drinker. He's the youngest of them all. He doesn't want any part.
Wait a second. He's an Aussie and he wants to drink.
Yeah, who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Yeah.
He's just not gonna be capable in any way. You know, as an alpha male to defend. You know, this group of. People against the ravages of bull, so you know bull starts to assault them physically and terrorize them and manhandle them, and at some point he cuts the captain and a couple of the Indonesian / Maldivian support crew loose in some sort of dinghy or something. I can't remember, but they're sent like miles away in some boat, so they're stranded and so they can't interfere. But so the rest of the film. They have to see how they can survive the onslaught of bull. And I got to say, really well done. On a modest budget, beautifully filmed. Probably a budget of, I think IMDb said 900,000. Definitely under a million. Just beautiful scenery. Some compelling acting. A great great performance. I forget the guy's name as Bull. But it just speaks to sort of what lengths he would go to for self-preservation. And in the case of many of these males on here, not far enough to defend their female compatriots. Kind of sad, but maybe a sign of the times, too.
So what was Bull's problem? I mean, was he
he was just a loon. Yeah, he was just a sociopath. And he was, you know, set off by being rebuffed. That's points, too, I guess, to speak to his mental state. He would be frequently playing the harmonica. And this annoyed... And like as one would, I guess that's the instrument you would, to
that's
practice
the
in prison.
You associate with sociopaths. What is it about that? It's always the harmonica, So it's playing a harmonica. I mean,
it's the only thing you can't kill anyone with in prison.
No, I know, but every time you see someone playing a harmonica, it's for some reason they're bad news.
It's bad news. It's kind of lonely. It's like, kind of sad. Yeah, it's kind of scary.
I mean, Bob Dylan's a harmonica player.
He played guitar with it, so that's it wasn't true.
If you have one of those stupid, I don't know what they call those things that,
Yeah, to attach it to your neck.
Yeah, exactly. But whether it's any sort of backwoods movie or Hicktown, you got the guy playing the harmonica. He's
bad news. And they are irritated with it because it is up there with the bagpipes and the banjos, the most irritating of the instruments. So then they take it.
Not the didgeridoo or the
don't. The didgeridoo. I think one sort of as a prank takes the harmonica before this all everything sort of turns to shit, flings it out. Into the ocean, and then, oh, it's just a joke, mate. Okay, I'm not going to attempt a Aussie accent, but and they fish it out. I think the Grom fishes out the thing. But anyway, just a compelling, fun movie that I picked up for $2. That's all you need,
man. Yeah. No, I'm sorry, man, but if you're going to take my harmonica and throw it out in the ocean, dude, I'm going to turn into a fucking sociopathic killer. I'm sorry, man. Yeah. Don't mess with a dude's harmonica.
No.
That's a lesson to me to learn. In other words, from Laser Blast, you know, don't go picking up fucking vacuum tubes in the desert.
And amulets for sure. We know from horror and well, sci-fi too, I guess, here. Do not pick up strange objects that should be taken directly to anthropologists or museums. So.
Right. So don't pick up strange laser weapons in the desert, and don't mess with a deuce harmonica.
No.
If you want to join in a rendition of "Blowing in the Wind," by all means, you know, pick a harmonica and just blow away. But
there she blows.
Toss it in the wind.
And definitely check out these Laser Blast, Open Water, and Caught Inside. Three and a half star films that are well worth everyone's time.
Right. Well, I'm going to give Laser Blast another half. I'm going to say four. Yeah.
And anyway, we're going to obviously revisit this series pretty soon and check out more at www.reallyawfulmovies.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Thank you.